Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
We thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We've been studying America and what's coming in the future for America. And let's go to the Lord and ask Him to guide us, to guide our minds, to open up our understanding, and to prepare us for the things that are coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you're working all things together for our good. We thank you that you have designed everything around us to manifest sonship in us, to manifest the Lord Jesus in our lives. And Lord, we give thanks to you for all things because you are a sovereign God. And you are bringing us just through everything that is necessary for us to go through, to give up our old life and to take up your life and to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we've been studying Babylon as a type of the United States. The great eagle of ancient times that ruled over the UN is a type and a shadow, of course, of the modern great eagle that's ruling over the UN. Well, the Roman Empire was the great eagle that ruled over the UN in their day, so history repeats. Well, I thought I'd talk about today timing. Timing in relationship to America, its ultimate destruction. In relationship to the rapture and resurrection and the tribulation. And we have looked at quite a few verses on this already, so if you want to go back and look at the archives, you should do that. But I'm going to back up just a little bit and touch on a couple things I did last teaching. And we ended up, I think, with Isaiah 13 in the last teaching. Isaiah 13 is the story of the fall of the great eagle of Babylon at the hands of the nations. And as you know, the harlot in Revelation 17 was destroyed by the ten kings, which is the United Nations. And in Isaiah 13:1, it talks about all the nations being gathered together, verse 4, against God's people. And, against Babylon. Okay? And, of course, that's the fall of Babylon. And it tells you in verse 9 that this happens in the day of the Lord. We're going to look at that too. Verse 9 says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel with wrath to make the land a desolation and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Well, the U.S. falls, as we've already seen very clearly through many verses, after the tribulation, at a time when the sun and the moon are darkened, which is caused by a world nuclear exchange, and it results, of course, in earthquakes and volcanoes and all the nasty stuff that happens with a world nuclear conflagration. And verse 10 of our text here in Isaiah 13 says, The sun shall be darkened, and it goes on to say, And the moon shall not cause its light to shine, And I will punish the world for their evil. So he's talking about the fall of Babylon, but we're noticing here that the whole world is going to be chastened in this war. I might also point out, by the way, that there's a parallel between the United States and Jerusalem. Jerusalem, as you know, has USA right in the middle of their name. And many times it proves true that it is a parable. And Jerusalem falls in a world nuclear exchange, which also darkens the sun and the moon. Amos 8, 2 and 3 says, I will not again pass by them anymore. The dead bodies shall be many and in every place, speaking about his people. And in verse 9 he says, "In that day, saith the Lord, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day." And in chapter 9 and verse 10 it says, "All the sinners of God's people will die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us." So you see, Babylon is a type of the United States, and Jerusalem also in this case, which is a type of the United States, is going to fall at the time the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light. Well, we have a New Testament revelation concerning this. It's Matthew 24, 29 through 31. And it says, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days," and if you look in the text, you find that he's talking about, it's called specifically in the text before this, the Great Tribulation. It also tells you about speaks about the days after the abomination of desolations, which are the second 3.5 years. Okay, it also talks about the Antichrist that reigned during that time. Okay, so when it says after the tribulation of those days, he's talking about after the tribulation, after the 7 years. He says, "The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light." So once again, we see that the timing of Babylon's fall and this Jerusalem fall is after the tribulation, when the sun and the moon are darkened. This is where America falls. And it's also where the Lord comes. Because the rest of the verse it goes like this. "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And he shall send forth his angels with the great sound of a trumpet." And that's the last trump. "And they shall gather together his elect." Okay, so here we see the tribulation, we see the sun and the moon darkening, and now he's getting ready to explain something else to us. Well, if we go to Acts 2 and 20, it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come." So now you got three things in a row. You got the tribulation, you got the sun darkening and the moon darkening, and the day of the Lord following that. See, some people think the day of the Lord is during the tribulation, but that is totally wrong, totally false. It comes after the tribulation. And the day of the Lord is a year. Isaiah 34 and 8 says, "For the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion." Why is that? Well, because for 3.5 years before this day of the Lord, they've been persecuting God's saints. And now it's a day of vengeance upon these wicked people who have persecuted God's saints and basically brought them to their cross. Isaiah 63 and 4 says, "For the day of vengeance, the year of my redeemed is come." He calls the day of vengeance also the year of his redeemed, because God's people are redeemed in that day. Jesus called it the last day, because it is the last day. Not the physical day, but a day that's a year, just like every other day in the tribulation is a year, right? The 7 days that are 7 years. Well, notice, the sun and the moon are darkened before the day of the Lord comes. And we notice in Isaiah 13 and 9 that Babylon falls in the day of the Lord. So at the very beginning of the day of the Lord, there is a darkening of the sun and the moon, and at that time, Babylon is hit from all directions with a nuclear attack. Okay? Now, we can look very closely at this timing in relationship to the tribulation and in relationship to the rapture and so on and so forth. First, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Notice he says, "We shall all be changed." This is where all of God's people, dead and living, are changed. There is not two raptures. There's only one. And there's not two resurrections of the dead. There's only one. He said they will all be changed at the last trump. Not any at the first trump. None. He said, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And notice that both the dead and the living are changed at that last trump. Now we got 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, which says basically the same thing. The dead in Christ shall rise first, Then we that are alive and that are left shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So you see that the rapture and the resurrection of the dead happen at the same time. Now, if you want to find out when America falls, very specifically, the days of Noah and the days of Daniel tell us this, very specifically. Do you know that Noah gave us the day of the rapture, and Daniel gave us the exact same day for the resurrection? I'm talking about to the day, counting from the time that the covenant is made, which begins the 7 years. The countdown comes out to the day of the rapture and resurrection. We have two witnesses. There can't be any argument with the Word of God concerning this. The pre-trib rapture folks are all going to have to change their mind, or else they'll have to deny the Word. But we're going to have two clear witnesses here of the timing of the fall of America and the timing of the rapture and resurrection. Well, Matthew 24 and 36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth and no one." People say, well, now you see, we're not going to know. But it doesn't say that. It says knoweth, which is not future tense. It's present tense. No one knoweth. Jesus gave us signs that would have to be read in our day, not signs that could be read in his day. And it was the same in his day. When Jesus came, he rebuked the Pharisees because they didn't know the time of their visitation. There were years before that nobody would have known. But in those days, people were supposed to know. And in these days coming, people are supposed to know. Verse 37 says, "As were the days of Noah." Jesus giving us a clear timing here for when he's coming. And as I'm going to show you, also for when America's going to fall. "For as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." That's the key. That's the clue. And if you want to look up these days of Noah, you go to Genesis 7 and 4. Not before that in Genesis 6, or where the 120 years are spoken of many times for the days of Noah. These are not the days of Noah. The 120 years are not. The 120 years are very symbolical, because if you take 120 Jubilee years, you come up very close to this time that we're talking about. But that's not the days of Noah. Genesis 7:4 mentions the days of Noah. "And God said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now these 7 days are the same 7 days, the last 7 days, that are mentioned in Daniel 9:27. "And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, or one Shabuah, or 1 7, literally, 1 7. And a Shabuah can be a 7 of days or a 7 of years. But we know that in Daniel 9:27, it's talking about a 7 of years, because the 69 weeks before the 70th week were 69 weeks of years, worked out to be 69 weeks of years. So he says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights." Now there's the days of Noah. God said there's a sign in there of the coming of the Son of Man. Wouldn't you think it would be when the ark lifted off that the Lord... that represented the Lord taking his people? Well, of course, right? But when does the ark lift off? Well, we see, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Notice when the rain started. The 40 days and 40 nights. After the 7 days, which is the tribulation period, at the end of the tribulation period, he says, "I will cause it to rain 40 days and 40 nights." So you got 7 years and 40 days. 7 years and 40 days. And then verse 10, as a fulfillment of this, says, "After the 7 days." Okay? What? Well, go down to verse 17. It says, "The flood was 40 days upon the earth, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth." So you see, after 7 days plus these 40 days, the Lord came. The coming of the Son of Man was fulfilled here. All right, after the 7 days means after the tribulation. And then the flood started. If you go back to Matthew 24, 38, and 39, it says, "On the day that Noah entered the ark, the flood came." On the day that Noah entered the ark, the flood came. So now we see that God's people, after the 7 days, entered the ark. It didn't lift off. They just entered the ark. They entered the ark of God's protection and safety. Okay? It was 40 more days before the ark lifted off. And these are 40 literal days. We can prove that, too. We will prove that as we go along. And then the ark lifted off. Now, after the 7 days, we've already looked at a lot of verses like that. You know, after the tribulation of those days, the sun is darkened. What happened when the sun was darkened? Babylon fell. So after 7 days, America falls. What's 7 days? 2,555 days from the time the covenant is made. The sun will be darkened, the moon won't give its light, and America will fall. 2,555 days. Once you know when the covenant is made, if you understand what the covenant is made, I hope you do. If not, you need to go back and listen to some of our archives, because many are not going to recognize it, just like they didn't in Jesus' day. So here we got. After 7 days, that's 2,555 days. But when you add the 40 days, which brings us to the time the ark lifted off, that brings you to 2,595 days. See, so America is destroyed when the sun is darkened. And, of course, it's continuing to be destroyed, but the major hit is right there. The major nuclear hit, which begins the whole thing, is right there at 2,555 days. And that's one reason the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light. Then 40 days later, the ark lifts off. So you got God's people in the ark for 40 days during a nuclear conflagration. So, we're talking about 2,595 days from the beginning until the rapture and resurrection. That's in solar time, obviously, because Noah gave solar time. Okay, well, we're going to look at Daniel's numbers here in just a minute. And he gave lunisolar time. Okay, so that's 40 days into the day of the Lord. You know what the day of the Lord was? 1 year, right? Guess how long the floodwaters were upon the earth? From Genesis 7:11 to Genesis 8:14, you come up to 1 year and 10 days. And that may be 10 days too many, because if you look at that verse, it's very hard to tell exactly where the end is, you know. But it's probably a year. Probably exactly a year. If we know God is always so very accurate and precise about everything. So anyway, the flood was the day of the Lord. We know it's not going to be a flood of water this time. It's going to be a flood of wrath, but it's the day of the Lord. Now, you got the saints going through 40 days of the year that's called the day of the Lord. Okay? Now, that's 2,595 days. We got a confirmation of that in Daniel's revelation. And, of course, Daniel's revelation is they used Israel's lunisolar calendar. Daniel 9:27 says, "He shall make a firm covenant with many for one Shabuah, 1 7, 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." So in the midst of the 7 years, the sacrifice ceased. Then we go over to Daniel chapter 12, 11 through 13, and we discover, "From the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away," we just read the verse that says that's in the midst of the week, "there shall be 1,290 days. So from the middle of the tribulation, the middle of the week, he says count 1,290 days. What does that bring you to? Well, it basically brings you to the end of the tribulation period. Now, here's the reason. Because when you have 1,290 days for the second 3.5 years of tribulation period, that means the first 3.5 years was 1,260 days. Because the way a lunisolar calendar worked for the Jews was that after every 6 years, they added 30 days to their calendar. So you would have had 1,260 days, which Revelation 12 and 6, notice the numbers, 1260, 12 and 6, Revelation 12 and 6 tells us, is 1,260 days. The first 3.5 years there is 1,260 days. So you got 1,260 and 1,290, which brings you to the end of the tribulation period. Okay, with one slight change here. Watch. The change is this. In a lunisolar calendar, you're limiting yourself to Israel's calendar. You're not counting perfect solar time. All the Gentiles use solar time. Okay? So, or they correct it to solar time, either way. But they end up with solar time. So the Gentiles would do one thing here that the Jews don't do. The Jews only changed a solar, or made a solar correction every 6 years. After 6 years, they made a correction of 30 days. Okay? What would the Gentiles do? The Gentiles would do one more thing. They would go to the seventh year and correct that too, which would be 5 days. So you would have 1260, 1290, and 5. And you know what that comes up to? That comes up to exactly 2,555 days, exactly like the days of Noah. But Noah used solar time. And the Jews didn't. They would not have corrected the seventh year for another 6 years. So if you're talking about actual time, you have to correct the seventh year for 5 days. 5 days for the seventh year. Okay. Now, we got a proof of that, an absolute proof of that. Read the rest. It says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and shall stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Standing in thy lot means resurrection. See, Noah wasn't speaking about the resurrection. He was speaking about the rapture. Those people were all alive, went in the ark, escaped, living. But these people are talking about the resurrection of the dead. Now, he said, blessed is he that comes to 1,335 days. In other words, if you start at the middle again, 1,260 days, and you add 1,335 days, you know what you come to? 2,595 days. Exactly as the days of Noah. No correction, no nothing. Because the correction's already in there. So, we have absolute proof that 2,595 days, we got it twice. The days of Noah, the days of Daniel. The only thing the 1,290 days does is that brings you to the exact end of the tribulation period when you correct the seventh day. Okay? So, now we've got two witnesses. We got two witnesses of the 2,555 days for the fall of America. We got two witnesses for the rapture and the resurrection 40 days later at 2,595 days. Two witnesses. So here we have it. We have a 7-year tribulation, the end of which is 2,555 days, which begins the 40 days, which begins the darkening of the sun and the moon, which is the fall of America, which is when the saints enter the ark. 2,555 days, they enter the ark. Enter the ark of safety. Then for 40 days, they're in the ark of safety. And then at day 2,595, the ark lifts off. Not only that, but they come back. They set foot on earth on day 2,930. If you go again with the days of Noah, 2,930, which is 335 days later. And so if you want to actually look at these calculations, you can go to our site and in the book Hidden Manna for the End Times at americaslastdays.com, Hidden Manna for the End Times, under Rapture When, there is a chart there that shows all these calculations, and you just can't really get out of them, folks. It's clear as a bell. Okay? So here's what I want to talk to you about for just a moment. What's going to happen to the saints for that 40 days, you know? Well, like Noah, we that are alive and that are left until the coming of the Lord, we'll enter the ark of Christ, which is what the ark really is. It represents abiding in Christ, perfect safety, because there's no curse on those who have learned to abide in Christ. We may be in Christ by faith, but we're learning to live in Christ and abide in Christ in our works, which is a place of safety, perfect safety. So the end of the ark of Christ for those first 40 days of the wrath of God, or the day of the Lord, for the first 40 days. Okay, 1 Thessalians 5:9 says, "For God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation." So we know that the people in the ark are not appointed unto wrath, even though they're still on the earth during the wrath. They are not in the wrath because they're in the ark of Christ. They're abiding in Him. Zephaniah 2:1 says, "Gather yourselves together, O nation," which is talking to God's people, "that hath no shame." Verse 2 says, "Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, Gather yourselves together, O nation, before the day of the Lord's anger. Verse 3 says, Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, that have kept his ordinances. You want to know who's going to be in the ark? It's going to be the faithful people. He said, It may be that you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger, the day of the Lord's wrath, the day of the Lord. It may be that you will be hid. Those people who have kept his ordinances will be hidden. Where? In the ark for 40 days in the time of wrath. We spoke earlier in another teaching of A.A. Allen's vision, which is on our site too. It's a very good vision because it's so specific and so accurate concerning the scriptures, you know. In A.A. Allen's vision, during the nuclear and biochemical holocaust, he said, God's own people, quote, who were safe from all the harm, for they were hidden away in the cleft of the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus, right? The kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, right? Protected by a great giant hand which reached out of heaven, shutting them in. Do you remember what happened with the ark? The Bible says that God shut them in. Wow. Okay, same thing here. We're talking about abiding in Christ, the kingdom of God, the mountain, the hand of God shutting them in. Until the storm be overpassed. Until the storm. See, 40 days they're going through the greatest storm the earth has ever been through. The only really true world war. Nuclear catastrophe all over the world. So Isaiah 26 and 20 says, Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors. There it is again. About thee. Hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Notice what he's calling a moment. He's talking about 40 days that they're going to be hidden. He calls it a moment. Of course, in history, it is a moment. If you can take in the 70th week of Daniel a day as a year, then obviously 40 days can be a moment, right? Until the indignation be overpassed. There it is again, just exactly like AA's revelation. Until the storm be overpassed. So they're hidden from the wrath for a moment of 40 days. And verse 21 says, For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Talking about a resurrection of the dead. So this 40 days of the wrath that's being poured out initially is a nuclear exchange, which Jeremiah 25 speaks about. You know, a noise will be heard from one end of the earth to the other, and the slain will be from one end of the earth to the other. This is a terrible nuclear catastrophe. And yet, God's people, not a one of them that's in this ark is going to be touched. For a moment, they're hidden in the chamber of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55, 7 through 10. Listen. For a small moment, there it is. There's the moment. Have I forsaken thee? Well, he did for 40 days. He left them on the earth during the wrath for 40 days. Didn't leave them unprotected, but he left them on the earth. Just like he left Noah floating in that ark. He said, But with great mercies will I gather thee. Obviously, at the end of the 40-day moment comes the gathering, right? 2,595 days comes the gathering. So between 2,555 days and 2,595 days, God has forsaken them on the earth in the ark. He calls it a moment. Okay. In overflowing wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting loving kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah. Boy, that's very specific, isn't it? This is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Now you know what the covenant of Noah was all about. That why God didn't destroy all of the earth again. And why the waters will not cover all of the earth. Who is it not going to cover? It's not going to cover those people in the ark. He says, for the mountains may depart, and the hills may be removed. And, of course, they will. The flood covered those, and, of course, the Bible talks about that every mountain will fall down. Every hill will fall down at this great earthquake that happens at the time of this great nuclear exchange. He said, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Wow. Here's some people that are in the ark for 40 days, and God's covenant of peace is keeping them and blessing them and preserving them in the middle of a nuclear catastrophe. That's an awesome God. Now, you want to be, if you're not the dead in Christ, you want to be in that ark. You want to be those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, as the faithful will be. Let me point out that in the same moment, that 40-day moment, that Babylon falls, Isaiah 47 and 5 says this, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. That's the Babylonians. That's the great eagle. That's America. For thou shalt no more be called the mistress of the kingdoms. Verse 9. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment. What moment is that? The same moment we're talking about. The very beginning of that moment of 40 days. In one day. Look, it's a moment. And it's in one day, which is the day of the Lord. It's the 40-day moment is in the beginning of the one day called the day of the Lord. And what's going to come upon them is the loss of children and widowhood. In their full measure shall they come upon thee. And verse 11 says, therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know the dawning thereof. And mischief shall fall upon thee, and thou shalt not be able to put it away. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou knowest not. So a strong deception is going to come over America. They're not going to know that this thing is coming. But you and I are, because we're reading it right here. We know exactly when. 2,555 days after they make that foolish covenant, that's when this attack is going to happen. You know, moment, the Hebrew word for moment is riga. And it means moment, of course, but it also means wink of the eyes. It comes from the word raga, which is to toss violently and suddenly as in the sea with waves. Isn't that something? There's the ark floating for a moment, a 40-day moment, on the waves. You know, and or at the end of that time, on the waves. It's lifted up on the waves. And I also noticed that this word has a double meaning. It also means quiet and at rest. Did you know that Noah's name means rest? The people in the ark are the people who have entered into God's rest. They are full of faith. Faith is what gives rest. Faith in God's promises give rest, you see. 1 Corinthians 15:51-2 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. There it is. God's people are changed at the end of the moment. America's destroyed at the beginning of the moment. Or I should say the beginning of that. The worst part of it is the nuclear attack on everything. And then there's an invasion, so on and so forth. But, so you see that this moment actually can be divided, can't it? The word for moment there is the word atomo. The Greek word atomo. It's where the scientists got their name for atomic, you know, because they thought that the atom was the smallest particle and it couldn't be divided. And the word atomo means indivisible. But how many of you know that they discovered that the atom could be divided, right? And I want to tell you that we just discovered that this moment can be divided too. We just discovered that it can be divided from the beginning, which is when the sun is dark and the moon doesn't give us light, and America falls, and the end, when the ark lifts off. The atom, too, can be divided here. So it's changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's the actual meaning for the word moment. At the last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See, folks, the atom has been divided. Now, in the very end of the 40-day moment, or atom in history, the rapture and resurrection comes. And the wicked, of course, are left to go through the flood of wrath. The wicked Christians, the wicked world, doesn't make any difference. The faithful are going to be in the ark. You know, the Lord said to me one day, he said, quote, during the last 40 days there will be a corporate Psalm 91 Passover of the curse for the saints. And why do you say that? Because actually Jesus paid for this. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He already bore our curse. We're not supposed to be living under the curse, folks. Our faith and our holiness will deliver us from the curse. Our faith and his holiness in us will deliver us from the curse. Okay. And 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, for our Passover, remember he said the 40 days would be a corporate Psalm 91 Passover from the curse. For our Passover also has been sacrificed, even Christ. You know what the Passover was? It was the last plague before leaving Egypt. Interesting. Here they are in the 40-day moment, and there's a Passover. The flood is destroying the wicked all around them. And there in the ark, the blood has saved them. You see? So the last plague before leaving Egypt, which is a type of the world. And of course, we know the Passover is true for us all of the time, but there's going to be a corporate manifestation of the Psalm 91 Passover during that 40 days. Okay? What is our Passover? It's Jesus Christ, right? He's been sacrificed already, but that's not the total fulfillment of the Passover. John 6 and 53 says, except you eat the flesh, which represents the Word of God, of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, which represents his life, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, you have not life in yourselves. Now, according to the Passover in Exodus 12, verse 5 on, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You shall kill it, take of the blood, and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, which also represents the pure word of God. Its head with its legs, with the inwards thereof. So they had to eat the whole lamb. They were commanded to, in fact, the rest of it says, let nothing of it remain until the morning. They had to eat the whole lamb. And what does that represent? It represents partaking of all of Jesus Christ. The head, meaning the mind. The legs, meaning the walk. The inwards, meaning the heart. We are to partake of the whole lamb. And that's the fulfillment of the Passover. Our sacrifice has been made, but now you've got to eat the body and drink the blood. And that means that we have to partake of the Word of God and partake of the life of Christ. When you eat something, it goes into you. It becomes who you are. You know, you are what you eat. Your cells are made out of what you eat. And that's a type and a shadow of what happens to us, you see. We have to partake of all of the Word, not just bits and pieces of the Lamb. You know, the full gospel, it's called. You know, people that believe in total deliverance from the curse and total redemption from sin and all these things. The truth is, we need to partake of all of the Word to be in the ark, because all of the Word is who Jesus is, and the people in the ark are Jesus manifested in the flesh. God is coming to redeem Christ in you, the hope of glory. So they were told, don't let any of it remain until the morning. Eat all of the lamb. And this is how they had a Passover. But that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. Meaning, of course, what you don't eat will be destroyed. You'll never get to eat it. So, he said, do this with your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. You know who the firstborn is? 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the natural man as first, and then the spiritual. The firstborn here represents the old man. The firstborn of Israel represents the new man, you see. So basically, the old man is going to be smitten during that 40 days. America's going to be smitten, letting you know very clearly that America is not God's country. It is God's nation within this nation, which is New Testament spiritual Israel, that's God's country. We are one holy nation worldwide, folks. It's not America. So he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall be no plague. The word plague there means a blow or to smite upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Representing, of course, the ark, right? The door. The blood was over the door. Who's the door? Jesus Christ is the door. Who can enter through that door? The porter opens the door, right? And the porter closes that door in the ark to keep any enemy from coming in. See, the blood is upon Jesus Christ. He's the one that sacrificed his life, sacrificed his blood, right? So basically, God, for those who have partaken of the whole lamb, they're going to be safely in the ark during this nuclear exchange and biological and everything else. Because right after the nuclear exchange, there's going to be an invasion of America in particular. Okay, but remember, he told me during the last 4 days there will be a corporate Psalm 91 Passover. Psalm 91 is the Passover. Okay, Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." The secret place of the Most High is Jesus Christ. The ark represents Jesus Christ. We abide in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that being in Christ Jesus is to be in heavenly places and not on the earth? Doesn't matter where you are, it is to be in heavenly places. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And there's nothing but safety there, folks. He said, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow, the nuclear arrow, that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Wow. Total protection from all these things that are destroying the wicked all around God's people. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, when do God's people think this is going to be fulfilled? Is it true now? Of course it's true now. It's always true for those that believe it. Few do, but it's still true. But all the people in the ark are going to believe it. They're going to be, I'm talking about, in my particular case, there's going to be Christians all over America that believe this at that time. They've gone through 7 years of tribulation. They've learned the way of safety and provision of the Lord. They've learned the way to Zion's broad walls that's protecting them from the beast, and they're abiding in the place of God's presence. He said, "But it will not come nigh thee." He says, "Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked." Can you imagine sitting in the ark for 40 days and watching the world destroyed all around you? The wicked being destroyed all around you. Folks, that's what's coming all over the world for God's people who are abiding in Him. Doesn't matter whether there's nuclear catastrophe or not. For God's people who are abiding in Him and have partaken of the Passover, the death angel is going to pass over them and destroy the wicked. They will just only behold with their eyes. In other words, physically. Doesn't that mean that the ark has to be on the earth for them to behold with their eyes? Yes. God's people will be here to see the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord, the wrath of God. They'll see the first 40 days of the wrath poured out upon the wicked. They'll see the reward of the wicked. "For thou, O Lord, art my refuge." And then the next part of the verse says, "Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation." You see, folks, we have to confess Him before men. We have to confess that He is our refuge, that He will defend us, that He bore the curse for us, Galatians 3 and 13, so we don't have to live under that curse anymore, that He is our Passover, that the death angel can't come into our house and touch us. Can you claim that now? You should be. You should be claiming that you've been, that the Lamb of God has taken away your sins, that He has provided you with deliverance from the curse that's upon this world. Read Deuteronomy 28. Find out what the curse is like. God took that away. God put that on Jesus. He put that curse on Jesus that He pronounced on this world because of rebellion against Him. He put it on Jesus. And now for those who believe that He has taken away their sins and put it upon Jesus, it will be accomplished because they walk by faith. And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. If you're not claiming your Psalm 91 rights, your Passover rights, you need to start doing that now. There's devastating things going to come over this world long before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We're going to see them shortly. You know, God told me that He was going to translate people right out of the middle of nuclear blasts because they're not under the curse. He spoke that to me many years ago. Can you imagine? He wasn't talking about translating them to heaven. He was just talking about just translating them. It wouldn't touch them. It just wouldn't touch them. Can you imagine right in the middle of a nuclear blast and it doesn't touch you? Passes right through you. Wow. God's awesome. Well, if you're not under the curse, you're not under the curse. He's almighty. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it will not come nigh thee. No plague, He said. No plague will be upon you to destroy you. No plague. That makes you kind of invincible. You remember when Jesus kind of walked in invincibility? The wicked around Him tried to kill Him, and He just passed through their midst because He wasn't under the curse. Do you believe that God is going to do that in people in our day? He definitely is. We've just read quite a few verses that prove this. He's definitely going to do that. He's going to fulfill the power and completion of His salvation in our day. Yes, many evil things are coming upon this world, and the quicker we learn that God's already made provision for this. People are running around trying to make their own provision for the terrible things that are coming upon the world, and they don't know that the Lord's already made provision, and it doesn't have anything to do with their works. It has to do with God's works. My God shall supply your every need according to His riches and glory. Why? Because He made a covenant with you. The blood covenant ensures that He will meet your needs. He said, Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation, simply for confessing that Thou, O Lord, art my refuge. See, by faith we receive the benefits of God's kingdom. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. And again, plague here doesn't mean a biological. It's talking about a blow, a smite. All of the judgments that came upon Egypt were called plagues, right? So it's just talking about that. And so basically you're going to be protected from everything if you believe in the Passover and you're walking not in willful disobedience, because of course there's no protection in willful disobedience, but you're walking under the blood. That's what it is to have it on the doorpost, you know, have it on the lintel. You're walking in and out under the blood, totally protected. And the wicked are not. And the wicked Christians are not, because they don't have any faith in the power of the blood to save. And the half-gospel Christians are not protected, because they don't believe in the power of the blood to save like this. No evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent, for He will give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. In other words, you can't even have an accident with one of those big angels standing there protecting you from everything. That's what the ark is going to be like physically, folks, is God's angels are going to go forth and protect and gather together His elect. That's even before they leave the earth. See, people think the gathering together is just snatching them off the earth. Well, no, it's not going to happen that way. They're going to gather together His elect. And they're going to protect them for 40 days. And they won't even be able to dash their foot against a stone. God will protect them from accidents. He will protect them from nukes. He will protect them from biologicals. These angels, one of these angels protected God's people in Zion from the great Assyrian beast that had conquered all of the northern 10 tribes and all of Judah and came up to Zion, Jerusalem. And God smote 185,000 of them through one angel. One angel. And God's got one of those angels with all of these people on planet Earth who are in the ark of Christ, abiding in Him, believing the gospel, having devoured all of the lamb, even the part about Him taking away the curse and the part about Him being at Passover. They have partaken of that. And through their faith, God is going to see to it that it comes to pass. These angels will protect them. If one angel could kill 185,000 men and protect little Zion against a massive beast army, then one angel can certainly protect you. So they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Awesome protection by God Almighty. Well, folks, we might as well make up our mind that we need to give up that which we cannot keep to gain that which we cannot lose. We're not going to be able to hold on to this world. The tribulation is the process by which God's people turn loose of the world and take hold of Him and begin to walk as disciples of Christ and take the Great Commission very seriously and take the full gospel very seriously and believe in the healing power of God, the deliverance of God, the provision of God as far as deliverance from sin. All the things that the Bible says, not their religion, not their dead religion that's made excuses for why God's not what He used to be. You have to turn loose of that too. The greatest move of the Spirit is coming through the man-child ministry, which is the same ministry that Jesus had. And Jesus came to call His people out of the sheepfold. He called them by name. He called them out. That's why they were called the Ecclesia, the church. The called out ones. And again, this is what's going to happen, folks. Sad to say, no, God is not going to take your church. He is going to take the called out ones, the remnant. It's going to be a remnant in the ark. The Bible says if the children of God be as the sands of the sea, it's the remnant that's going to be saved. There's going to be a remnant in the ark. And all the religions of man are all going down the drain with the flood, folks. That's right, because they weren't created by God. They're of the flesh, they're of the world, as Galatians chapter 5 tells us, that a sect, which in a dictionary would tell you it's a denomination, a sect is a work of the flesh, and none of that's going to enter into God's kingdom. So you see, you got to be willing to give up what man thinks, man's organizations, and go out in that wilderness and follow Jesus. Because He's about to call His people out of apostate Christianity. And there's no protection anywhere but abiding in Him. Abiding in Him, 1 John says, is to walk as He walked. What did He do? Well, He not only walked out of apostate Judaism, but He called all of His disciples out of all the denominations of apostate Judaism. That's what He did. And now, the same thing's about to happen. Get prepared to come out from among them and be ye separate. God's protection is going to be upon those people who are abiding in the secret place of the Most High, not abiding in the dead religions of men. So get prepared. Many people are not prepared. Many people are going to pass away in the coming wilderness because they're not walking by faith. Why did the Israelites die in the wilderness? Because of their unbelief. If you're not listening to the pure word of God, the unleavened bread, which is the only thing God's going to accept in the last 7 days, called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. If you're not listening to that, putting it in your heart, guess what? You're not getting prepared. I don't care what you do. It doesn't matter if you've got guns, food, everything stored up. It's not any of it going to save you. Nothing is going to save you. God's going to see to it that it won't save you. There's only one way to get prepared for what's coming. And that is, get the Word of God, the true Word of God in your heart. And if you want to get around and fellowship people of God that believe the Word of God, this will be a great help to you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And if there's any leaven found in your house, the Bible says in Exodus 12, you're going to be cut off from among God's people. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what did he say? Come out from among them and be separate. Don't sit and listen to garbage all day. Don't go to church to listen to garbage. Make sure that you're studying God's Word and believing what He says. He is preparing to cause a people to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And the rest won't escape. Just like going through the wilderness. They didn't make it to the Promised Land. They died because of their unbelief. God said to Moses that those people that wouldn't believe Him, He would blot out of His book. God bless you, folks.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true.